RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello, welcome back to English Bulletin of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by news across the country, Today in History, Highlight of the Week, Week in Review, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miss Eleni. We'll conclude our program for today with Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Listener, welcome back to the newsline. First, the headlines. 2015 budget deficit may reach 2.7%, says minister. Indonesian armed forces continue monitoring terrorist movement. Now the news in detail. Indonesia's finance minister, Bambang Brojonegoro, said that budget deficit this year could reach 2.7%, and the figure has increased from the target of the 2015 revised state budget, which is only 1.9%. Bambang estimated that until year-end, the amount of budget absorption would reach 92-93%, with a budget deficit of around 200 trillion rupiah. According to him, the deficit should further reach 300 trillion rupiah if the amount of the budget absorption reach 100%. Bambang Brojonegoro also pledged that the government will change the pattern of budget absorption, which always increases at the end of the year. He also said that the government also pledged to improve the system of state revenues from taxes to prevent the revenues target from not being met. Next year, the government sets the target of revenues from taxes of 1,360 trillion rupiah, or increases from this year's target of 1,294 trillion rupiah. To boost the revenues, Finance Minister has worked with the National Intelligence Agency or BIN to track the tax evaders. Commander of Indonesian Strategic Army Command or Pangkostrat, Lieutenant General Edi Rahmayadi, stated in Medan on Saturday that the army will continue to monitor and limit terrorist movements, including Santoso Group. According to him, the army is conducting a strict monitoring on potential terrorist movement in the country. He further expressed army readiness to deal with the terrorists in every region in Indonesia, hoping that Indonesian people should not afraid of any terror movements, as terrorists is intended to create fear within the hearts of the people. National Narcotics Agency or BNN admitted that media has an important role to free people from the threats of narcotics and illicit drugs. Director BNN of Advocacy, Yunis Farida, during the National Seminar on Drugs in Jakarta on Sunday, said that every media in Indonesia should conduct more effort to promote an anti-drug campaign to save the young generations from its danger. Meanwhile, Art Surya Safaat, senior journalist and one of the keynote speakers in the seminar, expressed his concerns regarding narcotics and illicit drugs that has become more dangerous nowadays among the people in the country. And even Indonesia has become a potential market for drug dealers as well as drug producers in the Asian market. Ahead of December the 1st, the Free Papua anniversary, the Papua Regional Police Command held a coordination meeting with various security officials and community leaders. He said the meeting was held to discuss the security measures required to be taken in view of the fact that the separatist organization planned to observe December the 1st and December 14th as the Free Papua anniversary and also the Melanesia anniversary day respectively. There have indeed been reports about the separatist groups having such plans, but steps will be taken to thwart such intentions. Around 237 personnel will be deployed for security on December the 1st, while Herman Saud has appealed to community members not to carry out pro-separatist activities and to continue with their daily routine normally. The last item, Indonesian Minister of Trade Thomas Lembong went to East Nusa Tenggara to identify local potential development. Minister Thomas is planning to develop industrial local potential based on seeing cows farm in Silawan, Blue, and Atapupu Port. In his written press release, Thomas said on Monday that cow farm has cultural basis in East Nusa Tenggara. Besides, the needs on the beat has been nationally increased. Therefore, cow farm industries become alternative sector that needs to be developed. Minister Thomas further explained that cow farm industry will also decrease the cow and meat imports, aiding that East Nusa Tenggara has also potential to develop the corn farm. Minister Thomas hoped that the special economic zone development will be able to be further widening to provide solutions on industrial development and to increase national export activities. Well, listener, that was the Newsline.
Listener, welcome back with me, Steve, in news from across the country, presenting you very interesting information of the week from Indonesia. The first info came from Bogor, West Java. Bogor City Government received 2015 Adipura Certificate along with 69 other cities and regions across Indonesia. Bogor Mayor Bima Arya Sugiarto on Tuesday said the award encouraged the city after the 27 years long wait. Before this, the Adipura Award was received by the City of Rain in 1988. Bima said Adipura Certificate is given to the regions with significant development in environmental and waste management. The certificate was received directly by the Bogor City Secretary Ade Sarip Hidayat in the Adipura Award event held on Monday, November 23rd in Jakarta. The Adipura rating was done towards 357 regencies or cities. The next news came from Padang, West Sumatra. A total of 52 scientists of animal husbandry throughout Indonesia had participated in the national seminar on local livestock development at Andalas University in Padang, West Sumatra. Seminar committee chairman James Halliward in Padang on Wednesday said the scientists showed the results of their study and research in the form of presentations and posters in a national seminar initiated by the Faculty of Animal Husbandry, Universitas Andalas. The participants came from various Indonesian universities and research centers, among others, State University of Solo, Brawijaya University in Malang, and Sriwijaya University in Palembang. James Halliward said the seminar aims to determine the formulation of solutions to problems and development of the local livestock to face the ASEAN Economic Community in December 2015. Well, listener, the last news came from Samarinda, East Kalimantan. Two extensions of agriculture and fisheries from Samarinda, East Kalimantan, were awarded the Best National. According to Food Stability and Regional Extension Board's head for Samarinda, Ari Yasir Philip, last Thursday, there are 10 agriculture representatives from Samarinda proposed as the best extension in East Kalimantan province in the improvement of human resource socialization and officer of farmers groups event in 2015. Two of them passed the national level. The second extension of the award-winning said Ari Yasir, namely Siti Uriana as the best agriculture extension and Mudrianto, who successfully held the title as the best fishing socialization. Ari Yasir stated Siti and Mudrianto, who are elected as the extension of agriculture and fishery best national, are expected to motivate all socialization workers or the extension workers in Samarinda to improve performance and to innovate in providing counseling and assistance, both in the fields of agriculture, fishery, animal husbandry, and forestry. Well, Well, listener, that was news from across the country.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is a Radio World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with November the 29th, 1945. The youth of Selayar Islands took over the district from the Dutch colonial government. Selayar is a district located in the province of South Sulawesi, Indonesia. The Dutch began to occupy Selayar in 1739. Selayar was established as a residency with the first resident W. Kutsir. After Japan defeated the Allies in World War II, the Dutch was ousted from Selayar and Indonesia was occupied by the Japanese. On August 17, 1945, Indonesia, including Selayar Islands, proclaimed its independence. Yet the Netherlands does not necessarily recognize its sovereignty and tried to reoccupy Indonesia. On November the 29th, 1945, about 200 young people from several groups led by a former Japanese Heiho Army member, Raul Rahman, entered the colonial police station. The youths took over power from the Dutch and later the date is commemorated as the anniversary of Selayar Island Regency. On November 29, 1971, Corps of Indonesian Civil Servants is established. Indonesian Civil Servants Corps, or abbreviated KORPRI, is an organization comprised of members of the civil service, employees of state-owned enterprises, local government enterprises and their subsidiaries, and the village government. KORPRI, which was established on November the 29th, 1971, by the Presidential Decree No. 82 of 1971, is meant to group the whole Indonesian civil servants. During the New Order era, KORPRI was used as a tool to protect the power of the government in power at that time. But since the Reform era, KORPRI turned into an organization that is neutral, not biased against any particular political party. Last event is from November 29, 1988. The United Nations Resolution 181, or the Partition Plan of Palestine, is issued. On November 29, 1947, the United Nations agreed to end the British mandate for Palestine. The decision was then called the United Nations Partition Plan for Palestine. The date now is known as the International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people and is a UN-organized observance. Events are held at the United Nations headquarters in New York as well as the United Nations offices at Geneva and Vienna. It is generally held on November 29th each year to mark the anniversary of Resolution 181. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
Listener, welcome back to Headlines of the Week. This week, we are highlighting the government that is planning to buy presidential copter. The need of presidential transport includes not only plane, but also the other modes such as a helicopter. To fulfill such need, the government planned to procure an Agusta Westland or AW-101 helicopter for the operational of President and Vice President. That was conveyed by the Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung in a press conference in the State Palace last Wednesday. The helicopter will not be used by the President and his Vice only, but also the state guests. He added, the helicopter procurement proposal was initiated by the Air Force regarding the current helicopter that has been 25 years old. Pramono Anung said, the helicopter must be well-equipped, including bulletproof material, because it will carry the most important figures of the country and other VVIP guests. Meanwhile, the Air Force Chief of Staff, Marshal Agus Supriyatna, said the helicopter plan did not come from the President, but from the 5-year strategic plan of the Air Force on the main weaponry system procurement. The plan to buy the sophisticated Italian helicopter purely resulted from the study of VVIP Air Squadron, which then was examined in Indonesian Army headquarters. Related to bulletproof necessity, Marshal Agus Supriyatna said the Air Force will review the available budget. If enough, the copter can be bulletproof, anti-jamming, anti-missile, etc. House of Representatives Commission 1 member Tubagus Hasanuddin on the presidential helicopter plan agreed that the old helicopter to be replaced for security issue. On the other hand, Tubagus Hasanuddin also said the helicopter should be made in Indonesia. Hasanuddin added the state-owned aircraft manufacturer Dirgantara Indonesia is able to produce helicopter with specification equals to the one government will buy. This will also provide job opportunity for around 700 Indonesians. Also, the post-sale service, such as maintenance and spare parts, will be cheaper and more guaranteed. Meanwhile, the local aircraft producer Commissioner Ilham Akbar Habibi regretted Indonesian Air Force plan to buy the helicopter from foreign company because this, according to Habibi, concerns Indonesian principle. He prefers President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kalla to use the made-in-Bandung helicopter by PT Dirgantara Indonesia. Because the state-owned enterprise had recommended the bulletproof helicopter type EC-752 Cougar as the VVIP transport. Besides, it is also much cheaper. Well, listener, that was highlight of the week. Hello, listener. Here is Week in Review, presenting several important events happened in this week. So, stay tuned. We start on Monday, November 23rd, 2015. Indonesia and Vietnam have agreed to achieve the bilateral trade target of $10 billion by 2018. Indonesian investment in TIM is also growing rapidly to reach almost $500 million. Indonesia hopes that there will be attention from this government. It was said by the Indonesian President Joko Widodo at a bilateral meeting with the Vietnamese Prime Minister Nguyen Tan Dung at Kuala Lumpur Convention Center or the KLCC on Sunday. The trade between the two countries currently stands at around $6 billion. The two leaders also agreed to enhance the bilateral relations, particularly in the trade and investment fields. Prime Minister Nguyen warmly welcomed the Indonesian President's offer. Both Jokowi and Nguyen also agreed to expand negotiations on Exclusive Economic Zone, or the EEZ, between the two countries. The meeting also discussed the latest development in the South China Sea. Jokowi stated that the Indonesian government will always give priority to regional stability and security when it comes to the South China Sea. At the end of the meeting, Nguyen extended an invitation to President Joko Widodo to visit Vietnam. The Indonesian president said he will likely visit Vietnam next year. Still on Monday, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe has said his country supports Indonesia's infrastructure development program as it would boost the regional progress. Indonesia development works crucial for the regional progress, therefore Japan gave its support to Indonesia continuously. It was stated by Shinzo Abe in a bilateral meeting with the President Joko Widodo on the sidelines of the ASEAN Summit in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia on Sunday. Japan continuously establishes strategic relations with Indonesia in various issues, he added. President Jokowi said he was pleased to see the Prime Minister Abe again after meeting him in the G20 summit in Antalya, Turkey recently. President Joko Widodo noted that on Monday evening he will receive some 1,000 Japanese businessmen and prominent figures in Jakarta. Indonesia will confer merit medals to some Japanese figures in recognition of the contribution to Indonesia at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta. On Tuesday, November 24, 2015, the Ministry of Communication and Informatics expects internet users will access legal music sites and announce 6 of them on Monday, November 23. Director General of Applications and Telematics Bambang Heri Cahyono said there are 6 legal music sites accessible for public. The music sites that could be legally accessed are Langit Music, Arena Music, Melody Online, Jevera, Jukes, and Volup. With the presence of these legal sites, the people is expected not to lose their rights to listen to their favorite music, as well as music industry companies. Based on the data from Asiri, the accessor of 22 websites reached 430,000 accessors per month. At the same time, 22 illegal websites have been blocked by the Communications and Informatics Ministry. National music industry players, including songwriters, artists, record companies, and musicians, also appreciate and welcome the action taken by the ministry. Todok thinks that the closing of those sites shows the government's seriousness in dealing with the online piracy issue. On the same day, rupiah interbank exchange rate in Jakarta slid by 90 points at the end of Monday's trading session, November 23rd, down to 30,713 per US dollar from its previous position at 13,623 rupiah per US dollar. Economist for Samuel Sekuritas, Rangga Cipta in Jakarta, said that the rupiah is experiencing quite a significant negative correction, as the possibility of a Fed fund rate hike is still wide open, which negatively impacts the movement of the currencies of the developing economies, including rupiah. According to Rangga, the rupiah is still heavily influenced by the global fluctuation, which means that the rupiah will dip again if external shocks manifest itself once more. For example, the Fed fund rate hike will negatively influence the rupiah, as it will drive the capital away from the domestic market and into US Treasury bonds. The head of research for Monex Investido Futures, Aristan Chandra, added that the rupiah is also influenced by the European Central Bank's or ECB policy, which is considered by many as detrimental to the performance of the currencies from the riskiest market. Bank Indonesia's middle rate stood higher at 13,696 rupiah per US dollar at the end of Monday's trading session, up from its previous position at 13,739 rupiah per US dollar. Listener, we continue into Wednesday, November 25th, 2015. The government is gearing up for the creation of the peat ecosystem restoration body to restore peat land damage in recent fires. Environment and Forestry Minister Siti Nurbaya Bakar said the good management and maintenance system is necessary to restore the damaged peat land in the country by involving the relevant government agencies and experts. Therefore, the government is considering to set up a body to speed up the restoration of peat ecosystem. As quoted by Antara News Agency, she said this body will restore the peat ecosystem on a self-reliant basis, meaning that no ministers can intervene in it. The body will employ professional workers, and the Environment and Forestry Minister must work closely with the body. She also said the body will be tasked with the supervising and controlling activities in the field to restore the peat ecosystem. On Thursday, November 26th, 2015. Indonesian government continues to speed up the implementation of the Bali package, which has created at the 9th Ministerial Conference of the World Trade Organization held in Bali 2013, and to open up access of new market for non-agricultural products through the multilateral trade cooperation. Director General of International Trade Cooperation or KPI of the Ministry of Commerce, Bahrul Qaidi, said in a press release received in Jakarta on Wednesday that the government is seeking to accelerate the implementation of Bali package that puts agriculture as a priority. He stated the Indonesian government is still puts agriculture as a strategic sector in the development. The sector is still a livelihood source for the majority of the workforce in Indonesia and a source of food in order to ensure the food security as well as industrial raw material sources. Bali package set up at the 9th Ministerial meeting of the WTO is a new milestone for the WTO to resolve the deadlock of the Doha Development Agenda or the DDA in 2001 and restore public confidence in the multilateral trading system. The 10th ministerial meeting of the WTO will be held in Nairobi, Kenya on December 15 until 18, 2015. The last one is on Friday, November 27, 2015. The continuous earthquakes that rocked the West Halmahera district of the North Maluku province from November 16 to 25 have resulted in the evacuation of 9,610 people from their residences. The chief of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, Sutopo Purwonugroho, stated in a press release on Thursday that at least 611 earthquakes occurred between November 16 and 23. Thousands of people from 19 villages in the Jailolo sub-district of the West Halmahera district were evacuated. However, some of the evacuees still carried out their activities during the day. The continuous earthquakes have led to 237 houses experiencing severe damage, 193 undergoing medium damage, and 504 suffering from minor damages. The authorities also found 11 public facility buildings that were damaged and the tremors, which also created 500-meter-long cracks in the Galala village. The head of the West Halmahera district has announced an emergency situation for 14 days and deployed 75 emergency joint personnel. North Maluku Province's administration has delivered 400 cartons of instant noodle and mineral water each. The Regional Disaster Mitigation Agency in West Halmahera has also distributed some aid to the evacuation post. The government has created a team to verify the damaged houses discovered by the National and Regional Mitigation Agency officers, the public works officers, as well as the military and the police personnel. The mitigation agency also asked people to be vigilant and calm while facing the tremors. The agency said the earthquake that occurred in West Halmahera was a continuous earthquake with a strength of below 5 on the Richter scale. Well, listener, that was Week in Review.
Voice of Indonesia.
V-O-R. Today's sound.
Listener, here is news in brief. Indonesia's Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said that budget deficit this year could reach 2.7%, and the figure has increased from the target of the 2015 revised state budget, which is only 1.9%. Commander of Indonesian Strategic Army Command, or Pangkostrat, Lieutenant General Edi Rahmayadi stated in Medan on Saturday that the army will continue to monitor and limit terrorist movement, including Santoso Group. National Narcotics Agency admitted the media has an important role to free the people from the threats of narcotics and illicit drugs. Ahead of December 1st, the Free Papua Anniversary, the Papua Regional Police Command held a coordination meeting with various security officials and community leaders. Indonesian Trade Minister Thomas Lembong went to East Nusa Tenggara to identify local potential development. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, to the frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here's our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miss Lenny.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. This is Sarah Reward Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a special program introducing Indonesian tourism, including places of interest, culture, and tradition, also Indonesian cuisine. Today, I will introduce a unique culinary from Palu, Central Sulawesi. So stay tuned in Sarah Reward Service, Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Kalido, a unique culinary from Palu, Central Sulawesi, it is so popular that some say that you have not been to Palu if you haven't tasted this kalido. So what actually kalido is? How does it taste? Why it is so popular? It is said that kalido is derived from the abbreviation of Indonesian words kaki lembu donggala or donggala ox foot. Yes, Donggala is one of the districts in the province of Central Sulawesi. The distance from Donggala to Palu is only about 34 kilometers. Others said that it comes from the Kaili language or dialect, which is the lingua franca of most Palu city residents. Ka means heart and ledo means no, so kaledo means not heart. Kaledo is actually a kind of soup. The difference is it is made of ox foot bones. Besides, in Indonesia, most soup is accompanied by white rice, while kalido is usually eaten accompanied by boiled cassava, corn on the cob, or sometimes burasa, a type of rice cake wrapped in banana leaves. Yes, that's the characteristics of this kalido. The bone used is the knee part, which still has plenty of meat with bone marrow. It is said the spicy sour taste of kalido soup can make you feel fresh. A unique way to get the full taste of kalido is sucking the marrow in the bones with straw. To prepare kalido is not too complicated. The ox flesh knee bone is washed clean. Boil plenty of water in a pan, then enter the bones and cook until the meat is tender. To reduce the fat, the first cooking water must be removed, then change it and cook again. This time, after the water is boiling, put some salt, little green chilies, and tamarind. Once cooked, serve with sprinkles of fried onions and lime. For kids, kalido is served boneless. You can find kalido in many stalls and restaurants in the city of Palu. Just pay 50,000 rupiahs for a hot bowl of kalido with burasa, cassava, or corn on the cob. In Indonesia, this is considered a little expensive for street food, but when you taste it, you definitely will not regret. Shop that provides kalido is usually open from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing kerupuk cracker dryer developed by the Institute of Surabaya Electronic Engineering Polytechnic students. So stay tuned, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Kerupuk crackers are a snack that is quite popular in Indonesia. In general, the crackers is made from tapioca flour dough mixed with flavoring ingredients such as shrimp, fish, or others. The dough is steamed until cooked, cut into thin slices, then dried under the sun. After it has been dried, then fried and ready to eat as a complement to the main food or side dishes such as rice cake with curry, gado-gado, or simply as a snack. So far, the drying process is dependent upon the sun. In the rainy season, the production or process of making crackers somewhat decreases. Some students of the Electronic Engineering Polytechnic Institute of Surabaya then developed a crackers dryer for small and medium enterprises in order to keep producing despite the rainy season. One student of the Electronic Engineering Polytechnic Institute of Surabaya, Fazil Aksgaryansyah, said, five small and medium enterprises in Sreseh District, Sampang, Madura have been empowered. Three of them are already using the crackers dryer tools, while the rest are still in the process. Fazil added that he and his colleagues deliberately chose Sampang. Fazil added that he and his friends deliberately chose Sampang since the location is a coastal district where many fishermen's wives produce kerupuk crackers. Fazil explained the dryer uses agribusiness technology that utilizes waste gas from the industrial processes of crackers making. It can save about 2 to 3 hours drying time with moisture content of about 24% and dryer temperature between 35 degrees Celsius to 60 degrees Celsius. With the tool, crackers entrepreneurs remain producing kerupuk during the rainy season. because the heat comes from the exhaust gas boiler streamer. According to Vasil, the use of a dryer will produce kerupuk crackers with more hygienic texture, safe from predators, and faster drying time. In addition, during storage, these crackers will be spared from fungus. He added that the water from the steam boiler can be taken particularly for the islands that lack of clean water. Vasil explained this tool can also be used for drying rice, salted fish, and fruit crackers, dried with a maximum capacity of 7.5 kilograms. Well, that was Miss Selene for Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miss Selene on Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are analyzed. In this segment, we will also play some Indonesian music. And first, we would like to thank you, our dear listener, wherever you are, who have sent your letters and emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. And now, let's start answering your letters and emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Suyanto in Kudus, Central Java. Hello, Mas Suyanto. Thank you very much for listening to our broadcast. By the way, could you please tell us from all our segments which one do you like? So, Mas Suyanto, please send your reception report in details. But actually, we are really sorry because we cannot provide your request. Well, Mas Suyanto, keep listening and sending your reception report to our radio. Thank you very much. And special for you and our regular listeners, we will play one beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Sebuah kemenangan, kita menang.
listener, now we will reply another email from Viktor Varsin in Russia. He was listening to our broadcast through the frequency 9525 kHz in Bahasa Indonesia, and on the 10th of October from 1431 until 1500 UTC. And the SIN code was 34533. Hello, Mr. Viktor Varsin. Thank you very much for your email and your reception report of our broadcast. By the way, for your complaint about the interference from another international radio, we have delivered to our technical department. We hope that we will do the best for the satisfaction for our regular listener, including you, Mr. Viktor Varsin. Hopefully, our radio can be heard clearly throughout the world. We also thank you very much for your prayer. We wish the same prayer on you. Well, listener, before we continue, here comes another beautiful song from Indonesia for our regular listener, wherever you are. Enjoy the song.
Awalnya ku tak mengerti apa yang sedang ku rasakan. Segalanya berubah dan rasa rindu itu pun ada sejak kau hadir di setiap malam di tidurku. Aku tahu sesuatu sedang terjadi padaku. Aku jatuh cinta kepada dirinya. Sungguh-sungguh cinta, oh apa adanya. Tak pernah ku ragu, namun tetap selalu menunggu. Sungguh aku jatuh cinta kepadanya. Sekian lama ku alami pedih putus cinta dan mulai terbiasa hidup sendiri tanpa asmara. Dan hadirmu membawa cinta sembuhkan lukaku. Kau berbeda dari yang kukira. Jatuh cinta kepada dirinya. Sungguh-sungguh cinta, oh apa adanya. Tak pernah ku ragu, namun tetap selalu menunggu. Sungguh aku jatuh cinta kepada. Apa yang ingin aku katakan, yang selama ini sungguh telah lama terpendam. Aku tak percaya, membuatku tak berdaya untuk ungkapkan apa yang ku rasa. Aku jatuh cinta kepada dirinya. Sungguh-sungguh cinta, oh apa adanya. Tak pernah ku ragu, namun tetap selalu menunggu. Sungguh aku
Listener, you're still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday. Now, we continue to reply an email from Ram Kumar Niraj in India. In his email, Mr. Ram Kumar Niraj said that he wants to be our regular listener. Hello, Mr. Ram Kumar Niraj. Thank you very much for your readiness to be our regular listener. We really welcome you. And well, Mr. Ram Kumar Niraj, we are looking forward to receiving your next email with your reception report. Thank you. And special for you and of course our other regular listener, here comes another beautiful song. Check it out.
Kita bersama di antara banyak peristiwa, sering aku tak mengerti perasaanku padamu.
Now, we want to say hello to our regular listener, Mr. Juk Sharak in Bangladesh, M. Abadik also in Bangladesh, Muhammad Yasir Isfak in Pakistan, Hanna Osman in Egypt, and many other regular listener who cannot be mentioned one by one. We would like to know how are you, but we hope that you will be fine and you are still tuned to our radio every day. So, please send your reception report to our broadcast, about our broadcast I mean. Thank you. And listener, unfortunately, very unfortunate, we have to sign off. But we really appreciate your reception report on our broadcast. Please do not hesitate to send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. I repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to info@voi.co.id, info@voi.co.id, or english@voi.co.id. Do not forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia, or follow our Twitter @voiindonesia. Also, do not forget to join our Instagram, voice_of_indonesia, and also our YouTube channel, VOI Indonesia. And listener, to conclude our segment, we will play you one more beautiful song from Indonesia. Well, I'm Steve. Thank you very much for listening, and we will meet again with you next week in Listener's Mailbag. Bye-bye.
feel so lonely, but you'll still be fine. Time will tell what you need the most. We're born quiet and we'll die alone. So bring yourself on a higher
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.